Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm Jack Gates with the Royal Granite Lions Club. If you will repeat with me. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Shall we pray? Again, our Father, we lift up our hearts in prayer and thanksgiving for this privilege and opportunity. We thank you that there is someone who cares for us in this troubled world in which we live. And Father, again, we would lift up our hearts, our concern, our best wishes, and our prayers for those of our young men and women who are fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq and other places in the world, and we pray your presence with them and your watch care over them, and we pray that you would put a guard around them so that they might all come home safely. Give peace and comfort to their families, we pray. And then we pray for the council tonight. We thank you for the many hours that they spend in preparing and in carrying on the duties of the city, and Father, we pray that they might be rewarded and blessed for their effort. Give them wisdom tonight, we ask. In your name we pray, amen.
Jack, before you sit down, you know the drill. We want to hear about the Lions Club.
I'll be happy to do that.
Okay.
As a lot of you are aware, we participated in the Harvest Festival, and I'm sure a lot of you were able to sample our magnificent tri-tip sandwiches. And that was a real good experience for us. A week ago, we had another interesting experience. We manned a precinct over at Cypress Ridge. For two of our members, it was an awfully long day. I don't know if you've ever done anything like this, but two of the members, were there at 6 o'clock in the morning and left about 8:30 in the evening. Anyway, we did that, and that was a new experience. But it was fun and, of course, a patriotic thing to do. Then another thing, a little closer to home, we participated in a health fair for some of your local citizens, and this gave them a chance to have examinations that they might not have been able to get on their own. The Lions Club did the site examination, and it's a shock sometimes when you come upon a person who can't even see the big E from 20 feet away on the eye chart, and it gives you a feeling inside that, gee, here is somebody that I can help. We've identified a problem, and we can direct them into a possible solution to their health problem. So that's always a good feeling, participation, as far as I'm concerned. Other than that, we don't do anything but meet.
Good work that the Lions Club does for the community, and thanks again for leading us in the flag salute. And Pastor Banker, thanks for the invocation. That takes us to item number 5. I have a special presentation this evening, and I would like to invite Mr. Steve Southwick to join me at the podium.
Mr. Mayor, Ms. Farr, before you start, I did very little on this. I made a few phone calls and got it going. Bishop Don Nielsen of Pismo Beach, Roy Storer, and Lynn Johnson of Rio Grande did most of the work on this.
Well, why doesn't everyone come up? Let's just do it that way. That's fine. That'd be perfectly fine. The more the merrier. Good evening, gentlemen. This evening, it's my privilege to present a mayor's commendation to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this is in honor of the work that you've done for the community and on the occasion of Make a Difference Day. And Make a Difference Day is the most encompassing national day of helping others, a celebration of neighbors helping neighbors. This was an occasion that was created by USA Weekend Magazine, and Make a Difference Day is an annual event that takes place on the fourth Saturday of every October. And this year, the event was on Saturday, October the 23rd, 2004. Millions have participated in this event. Over 3 million people cared enough about their communities to volunteer on that day, accomplishing thousands of projects in hundreds of towns across the country. As part of National Make a Difference Day in Aurora Grande, approximately 50 members, led by these gentlemen, I'm assuming, approximately 50 members of the Church of Latter-day Saints participated in various maintenance projects at Rancho Grande Park. And these projects included painting and the railings in the playground areas, our pump house fence, and raking sand and weeding and virtually everything else that nobody else wants to do. These gentlemen and the organization performed for us, and we are very grateful for the help that you've rendered. And so it's my privilege to present all of you with this mayor's commendation. It's presented to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in recognition and appreciation for your volunteer efforts at the National Make a Difference Day Rancho Grande Park Service Project, November 9th, 2004. So on behalf of the council, gentlemen, I'm honored to present this to you. Who would like to take it?
Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lynn?
Thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody would welcome you to say a few words. Anyone?
We'd like to thank you for the opportunity that we had to work and provide service for the city. We really enjoyed the work. It was quite a joy to see that many people get together and do some things together and provide them the opportunity to serve others. We appreciate the opportunity to do it again next year. Look forward to it and enjoy the contributing to the community.
Good. Thank you so much again. We appreciate it. Or make an observation on any item that is not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. We would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, and please direct your comments to the council as a whole. Anyone in the audience would like to come forward during public comment? Any item not on this evening's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will close public comment. That will take us to item 8, which is our consent agenda. This is an item that the council, it's a group of items that the council normally approves in one action or one motion, unless there is an item on consent that any member of the council would like to pull for further review or a separate vote. What is the will of the council?
I would like to pull E, Mr. Mayor, just for a question.
Okay. 8E. Any others? Okay. At this time, then, I will entertain a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8D.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Anything to read in there?
Mayor Ferrara, item 8B. Is one of those clever PERS ordinances, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending the contract between the City and the Board of Administration of the Public Employees Retirement System.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Tim. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay, that takes us to 8E. Councilmember Reynolds.
This is for a question for staff, and all that I would like to know, I didn't get a chance to talk to anyone today, but when these people come in for this project a couple of years ago, it was a hurry-up deal. We had to go. Everybody wanted to get it started and get it started and get it started, and they went back. We've been over it a couple of times, and now we're right there and we're having a delay. What is the problem? I think I know what it is, but
The delay has been the project had been approved fairly quickly, but the delay has been a number of funding applications they've submitted to the state for state tax credits, which were rejected. I think they've gone through five cycles now. So They didn't give up and continued ahead and finally succeeded in that process, but that did delay it significantly.
But they have got that last tax credit funding cycle, right?
Yes, that's been awarded. They're actually in the process probably tomorrow of closing on their financing. And I think they have either pulled building permits. We'll do that in the next day or so. So everything's actually coming together this week.
With that, I will move for adoption of 8E, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Reynolds.
Yes.
Councilmember Diggins.
Yes.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar.
Yes. Thank you. Takes us to our first public hearing this evening, item 9A, consideration of an appeal of the Planning Commission, denial of variance 04-003, lot line adjustment, 268 West Branch Street. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Mayor. Notice a public hearing at the Planning Commission level on the amended variance application, if it is returned to the commission.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that was here this evening to comment on 9A?
Evening, Mr. Mayor. I'm John Belcher. I'm here with Mr. Chisholm, and we really echo the comments of the staff. We had a chance to review the Planning Commission comments and some of the suggestions they had made we think are good ones, and we're going to go back and work with staff and try to come back with something that the Planning Commission was indicating they were a little more in favor of. If it doesn't work out, I guess we'll be back, but we think we can make some progress, so we'd like to have a shot at working with them on that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else that was here this evening to comment on 9A? Okay, we'll come back to the council. Close public comment. So I'm assuming then you're recommending a continuance on this, or you're recommending that
I think
it
without
from the agenda at this time
being continued, I think you could at this point either deny the appeal without prejudice or just refer the variance originally received back to the Planning Commission for reconsideration.
Okay.
And then if it is necessary, it will proceed with a subsequent appeal if they're not satisfied with the Commission's decision.
Okay. Any member of the council have an issue with that?
I have none.
None.
Okay. Then I'll entertain a motion to refer this back to the Planning Commission.
I'll move that we refer this item back to the Planning Commission for their consideration.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Reynolds?
Yes.
Councilmember Diggins?
Yes.
Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to 9B. Consideration of amended conditional use permit, revision to exterior elevations of approved conditional use permit 02-009. This is the Parable Group, 1570 West Branch.
Good evening,
Kelly.
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Mayor.
Haven't seen you in a while. How are things?
Yeah. had a little bit of a fall back with the back. But
yeah. Better now?
It's better, yeah.
Good.
Thank you. Is this on? Yes, good. The project site is located on a 20,000 square foot parcel created about 7 years ago in the Kmart Center parking lot adjacent to the Quarterdeck restaurant. The Parable Bookstore was approved in February of 2003. That includes roughly 6,000 square feet of floor space divided into the retail sales area, a small mezzanine for storage, and then a self-service coffee area. The original external building materials included concrete block, marble tile, red brick. This includes the coffee service area, which provides 225 square feet of storage and coffee preparation, and then about 700 square feet for the coffee dispensing area, which is shown in blue on the slide. Staff has added a condition that limits the self-serve coffee area to these dimensions. Now, this slide shows the proposed colors for the building, which are predominantly neutral earth tones. Normally, a project that simply involves changes to the exterior building materials will only require an architectural review permit. But because the original CUP for the Parable will expire in February and the applicant is not ready to pull a building permit at this time, the applicant then decided to pursue a formal amended CUP application, which then also serves as a time extension for the original CUP entitlement. The Architectural Review Committee considered the exterior building material changes on September 13th and recommended approval, but with a condition that they review the final landscape plan before a building permit is issued. Their main concern was to ensure that adequate screening of the building was provided, which basically has less articulation than the original proposal or approval. Now, the Planning Commission then considered the amended project on October 5th, and it was a split vote on the decision. So, therefore, with a tie like that, there is no formal recommendation from the Planning Commission to the Council. So, to conclude, staff then recommends that Council approve the proposed modifications by adopting a resolution that's contained in your staff report. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions or clarifications for Kelly in the staff report? Councilmember Dickens?
Kelly, you mentioned that the Architectural Review Committee recommended that the final landscape plan be reviewed by their committee, and then prior to the building permit for screening purposes, but I don't see that in the conditions of approval. Condition of approval 21 talks about the fact that landscaping and irrigation plan shall be prepared by the licensed landscape architect, subject to review and approval by the community development director in Parks and Rec. Is it out of line to ask for that to also go back before the architectural review committee?
Actually, in Exhibit A, condition of approval number 9 indicates that the final landscape plan shall be reviewed by the ARC prior to issuance of building permit. Do you have Exhibit A?
Yes.
It's right after the signature sheet of the resolution. There's a lot of exhibits.
I'm sure it's in here, yes. Why wouldn't that be put in under condition number 21?
Well, that was the original conditions of approval. See, Exhibit A, the coffee area is not changing and the hours of operation are not changing. That coffee shop will likely open earlier, say at like 8 o'clock, versus the bookstore would open at around 10 o'clock. So there's just a little bit of difference in hours. Okay.
Was there, and I don't seem to recall that much about the coffee shop, actually, when it first came through. It seemed like the main thrust was this was a bookstore.
The signage is mostly what's changing with regards to the coffee shop, so to speak. The size of the area is not changing.
So there's no difference in terms of the parking requirements. Did they originally have the coffee shop plan to be open earlier?
Yes, that we had them revise the parking study with regard. Mostly parking was the issue, not traffic generation. So we had Steve Burrows revise the traffic or the parking study when we saw that the coffee area was going to be inside the building. So we have a copy of that if you wanted to look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments on the staff report, clarifications?
I would just think, Mr. Mayor, looks like the two uses are relatively compatible as far as the traffic patterns are concerned. So I don't think people are going to be down at 6 o'clock in the morning reading books.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, this is a public hearing. Any member of the audience that would like to come forward and comment on 9B, this would be an opportunity.
Good evening. My name is Kim Hatch. I work with Pultz & Associates, the architect's office, representing the applicant. I'm here to answer your questions and also point out that everything Kelly said was right on target and accurate, and that the basis for this is cost of construction. Bottom line, we were all the way through the point of picking up a permit and starting construction, and in the process of doing the working drawings and getting to the permit stage, everything just went a little crazy out there. And we had a lot of steel in the building in the original design, and steel went up about 50%. A lot of the other product that we had spec'd on there went up as well, so the project just went way out of budget. So they asked us to come back and rethink the project a little bit on the exterior. So we think we've provided you with another nice exterior elevation. I think everybody will be happy with it. It'll fit in with the center, and it'll meet the client's budget in today's market. And if there's any other questions.
Any questions? Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to come forward and comment on 9B? Okay, seeing no one, we'll close public comment, bring this back. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no issues in the changes that are proposed. I don't see any problem with them. I do have some reluctant feelings about the parking in this situation. I know that we've been all through this a number of times. I know I've been in that Kmart Plaza several times over this past year. During the day, going for physical therapy and taking my mother-in-law for physical therapy, I couldn't park. So I've got some real reservations about it, but this is not changing that. Doesn't change the demands or requirements on the parking. So I'll reluctantly.
Certainly there's some hesitation in regards primarily with the interface with quarterdeck there. But I at the time that this came before us, I think we reviewed that thoroughly. And I think that there's going to be an adequate parking selection in that particular area. So I don't think it's going to be a negative at all. I think it's going to be a positive overall, and I'm pleased with the project. I'm pleased with the signage, and I have no problems approving as staff has presented.
Thank you. Councilmember Reynolds?
I'll echo everything that's been said, Mr. Mayor. I think that when we put this together several years ago, it was a good fit for that area and bring a little more business into that part of the shopping center, that part of town. So considering the way the gentleman say the price of things are gone, I think it's wise that we give them the benefit and let them go forward with it.
Thank you. I'll make it unanimous. I don't have an issue at all with the change in the elevation. I actually think this elevation is probably a little bit better fit than the other one for that particular shopping center. And I am very, very pleased to see some new development going into the Kmart shopping center. I'm hoping that it will sort of be a catalyst to draw more people into the center. I like the addition and the highlighting of higher grounds in conjunction with the parable sign. I believe that will be a nice draw in addition to the bookstore itself. As far as the parking goes, clearly there's been a concentration of parking along the south end of that center. But I think once the additional activity occurs around this bookstore, that parking pattern will develop. And I know that towards the north end, there's ample parking. So I think a parking pattern that will accommodate that entire center will develop. And I'm looking forward to having this go in. I think it'll be a nice addition. So with that, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I would move for adoption of a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande approving amended conditional use permit case number 04-003 located at 1570 West Branch Street, applied for by the Parable Group.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Reynolds?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. That takes us to item 9C, consideration of a proposed ordinance adding section 10.08.060 to the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code, prohibition of solicitation at entrances to commercial parking areas, so on and so forth. Good evening, Chief. I'm sure you'll fill us in.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As you may recall, back on the council meeting on October 12th, when we were discussing the municipal code cleanup ordinance, they lacked specificity as far as defining what was meant by begging, and they lacked some type of nexus to some type of public need or public safety issue regarding the activity. We did a tremendous amount of research and ended up contacting the Office of Community Policing Services with the United States Department of Justice and asked them for some guidance on this. They provided us with some information. In fact, they have an excellent booklet here on the subject that I use for a basis of it. And in developing the ordinance, we looked specifically at the type of acts we were talking about, and we designated that as soliciting or begging for monies, goods, or services, including offering any services in exchange for monies, goods, and services. That offering services is meant for those who stand up with a sign that says, "We'll work for food," until you go up and approach them and they will never work, they just want the money. But anyhow, that's one of the approaches we took. And then the nexus to some type of need was looking at what our particular problem is in our community, and that is this, dealing with the safe and orderly flow of traffic. And that's where our complaints have been. And that is soliciting at entrances to shopping centers, soliciting at the freeway on and off ramps. in one particular case, soliciting on our new median on Grand Avenue down by Oak Park, and standing in front of the Welcome to Arroyo Grande sign and with a sign out there, and the like. So what we did is we developed an ordinance and brought it back to you that specifically states that in order to promote the safe and orderly flow of traffic, no person may solicit or beg any monies, goods, or services, including offering any services in exchange for monies, goods, or services, while within 150 feet of any entrance to or driveway within any commercial establishment or shopping center, or within 150 feet of any intersection of city streets, including intersection of city streets and state highways, or state highway on or off ramps, or on any median in any city street, or on the roadway of any city street, including approaching or attempting to interfere with the movement of any occupied vehicle while such vehicle is being operated on a city street. Now, one of the things we do recognize, there are nonprofit groups within the cities that hold things like car washes, such as down at the Chevron station, the barbecues that are frequently down like at Briscoe and Grand and that. So we did write a provision in here that this section shall not apply to a nonprofit organization conducting a fundraising activity within a commercial parking area with the permission of the owner, provided such activity does not interfere with the safe and orderly flow of traffic entering or exiting the parking area onto city streets, and said organization has obtained a public safety and welfare permit from the chief of police. In formulating this ordinance, we recognize that there are truly homeless and needy people out there. And one of the things from the standpoint of the police department, as we have historically done, is we have programs available and we have resources available within the department and within the community that when we do run.
Any questions on the staff report? Okay. Seeing none, this is a public hearing. Any member of the audience that would like to comment on 9C, this would be an opportunity for you to do so.
Albert Epstein, 1147 East Grand. I'm just wondering about the definition of the word solicitation, which may in fact be too vague to be constitutionally approved. Would solicitation prohibit, for example, the sale of flower bunches on a corner. I don't know the answer to that. I'm just raising the issue.
Would you care to respond?
It actually could, in this particular case, apply to the sale of flowers at the corner. And again, these are issues that we've had complaints upon because in terms of interfering with traffic. So, yes, to answer your question, it would apply.
Would that affect the should I go back?
Yeah, it would be helpful if you remained at the microphone so we can catch this for the record.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Albert Epstein again. Would that affect the little flower shop that's right down here on Grand Avenue? They're putting bouquets out, I think, periodically.
Well, I think what we're talking about here, and we've all seen them, is when someone will have a bunch of flowers or several bouquets in their arm, move out to the median in the middle of the street, and start approaching cars when they stop to make a turn or stop for a signal. We've also seen people selling agricultural items like, you know, bags of oranges and things like that from the median in the street. Those kinds of activities, I think, is what we're trying to avoid here. But certainly someone who lays out, for example, the flower shop where you're referring to, if they lay that out on the corner to attract people to come in, then there's certainly nothing wrong with that. So I think the main issue for us here in terms of the goods and services that are in proximity to flowing traffic is to deal with a safety issue.
Well, I certainly agree there is a safety issue for anybody who's standing out on the median and either sells or solicits. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. Any other comments? Any other member of the audience that would like to comment on this item? Okay. Seeing none, close public comment on 9C and bring this back. Councilmember Reynolds, why don't you start this one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I think that we're right on the right target with this because I've seen people get out between two lanes of traffic to sell newspapers or flowers and whatnot, and it does make things scatter. Some of them even got dogs with them on some of the intersections, and I've had people complain to me about it when they were going into stores that they were being harassed to a certain degree when they were going into some of the stores. So I think that this is a good step in the right direction to clean our code up, and we should move forward with it.
Thank you. Councilmember Dickens?
For us to patrol and to maintain a safe and orderly traffic flow around particular areas that seem to attract folks that are soliciting money. And I believe that we have appropriate resources within this community to handle the needs that do arise from our community members in a financial way. And I believe that there's more appropriate ways than sitting on the street corners and asking for funds. So I believe this is appropriate. I think it's something that I can support. And I feel like the chief has done a good job in doing his research and laying out specific solicitation requirements. And I think it's more than just the issue that we're facing over at the Walmart Center, but it's important for us to make sure that we don't have folks in a jeopardized situation next to the streets and slowing down traffic and causing other issues. So I would support this particular ordinance as presented. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I'll have to echo a lot of the comments I've heard so far and congratulate the chief on putting together a well-written provision for the code here. I think the keys we're looking at here are we're dealing with prohibiting solicitation at the entrances to commercial parking areas and upon public right-of-way areas. This is an issue of safety. There are certainly people at need in this community, and there will continue to be resources available to them and sources for them to get the help they need. However, the impeding of access in and out of driveways and on public streets is a danger. This is not going to affect things. I've had a lot of experience for the past 10 years with Girl Scout cookies. This is not going to prohibit that type of activity. I know that some of the places where they set their booths up will be within 150 feet of entrances and driveways. However, they're in a controlled situation. They're not impeding the flow of traffic. They're doing so in a safe location. They're generally at the entrances to businesses, and they're there with the permission of the businesses, and they're not going to create problems. So this measure addresses the safety issues. It does it in a coherent, clear way, and I can support this process, and I can support the approval of this measure.
Thank you. You know, I think the main reason why we put this issue forth for the chief to follow up on is captured in the staff report, and I think just for the benefit of the public, I wanted to read just a quick few lines of the staff report. It says the chief of police recently intervened at one disturbance between two such individuals at the driveway into the Five City Center on Rancho Parkway, which itself was interfering with the flow of traffic. One of the individuals claimed that the driveway was, quote, his corner, and that he did not want anyone else interfering, as he could make as much as $200 a day at that location. I think it's just this type of activity that we were attempting to curtail. So I'm very pleased with the manner in which this ordinance has been put together, and I support it 100%. Takes us to item 11A, fiscal year 2004-2005, first quarter budget status. Evening, Pat.
Is it on now? Okay. This evening I'm presenting the first quarter budget status report for the fiscal year 04-05. This report provides three basic things. First, it provides a snapshot of revenues and expenditures in the general fund, the water fund, and the sewer fund for the first quarter of the fiscal year. Second, it provides a summary of cash balances for all of the city's funds. And lastly, it recommends budget adjustments, several budget adjustments for council approval. The most notable event to report this evening is that the triple flip legislation implemented to help resolve the state budget deficit has actually started to impact the city. Under the triple flip legislation, it's hard for me to get out that triple flip legislation. Hopefully that'll be the last time. The first flip takes 0.25% of sales tax revenue, 0.25 cent of sales tax revenue that previously came to cities, and gives it to the state. And these funds are used by the state to pay principal and interest on the bonds that were sold to help reduce the state budget deficit. The second flip requires counties to reimburse the funds lost by cities from school district property taxes. So that's how the cities recover their funds. And then the third flip is when the school district is reimbursed for its losses from the state's general fund. So sales taxes go from cities to the state. Property taxes go from school districts to the cities, and then general fund revenues go from the state to the school districts to make it up. Due to this flip of sales tax from cities to the state, sales tax received by the city of Rio Grande in September were approximately 25% lower than budgeted. Those funds will be recovered in December when additional property taxes will be received by the city. One of the recommended budget adjustments in this report is to reflect this flip of revenues from sales tax to property tax. The adjustment will decrease the city budget for sales tax revenue during the year by $643,000, while increasing property tax revenues by the same amount. In addition to the triple flip, California cities have agreed to contribute $350 million to the state budget deficit resolution over the next 2 years. As a result, the county will withhold from the city of Arroyo Grande $244,000 in property taxes each of those 2 years, and that's going to occur in April. Those reduction in property taxes will be partially offset by a one-time payment of $295,000 from the state in fiscal year 06-07 to compensate the city for VLF revenues that were lost or not collected in fiscal year 03-04. The city will also begin to be repaid in that year for past state-mandated cost payments that have been delayed, which will result in an estimated payment to the city of approximately $330,000. In addition, the city has budgeted $80,000 in contingency reserve funds. Therefore, it is projected that while the city's fund balance will be impacted over the next 2 years because of actions required to help with the state budget deficit, over a three-year period, there will not be any net negative impact to the general fund. $173,000 while increasing property tax revenues by the same amount. Three categories of budget adjustments are being recommended in this report. The first category is carryover appropriations. This category is for funds budgeted in the prior fiscal year for services that were begun but were not completed by June the 30th. The second category is approved adjustments, which are items previously approved by the council. And the third category is proposed adjustments, which are the result of events and activities that were unforeseen when the budget was last reviewed. Details for all recommended adjustments are included in the report. The net result of all the adjustments will leave an undesignated general fund balance of $2,367,000 at the end of the current fiscal year. That is approximately $307,000 less than the City Council goal of 20% of annual appropriations. However, as previously discussed, the shortage will be eliminated by one-time payments from the state in fiscal year 2006 and 7. Staff recommends that Council approve schedules A through E attached to this report, which include adjustments to the current budget and unreserved fund balance controls. That concludes my remarks. I'll be glad to try to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for that report, Pat. Any questions, clarifications on the staff report? Yes, Councilmember Dickens.
Pat, first of all, I appreciate your report, and it's the first time I've actually really quite understood the triple flip, so I appreciate you going through that and doing it in layman's terms, so thank you. My concern has always been as we shift our, as the state is requesting, our sales tax and then backfill that with the same amount of property tax. Over the years, what's our projection in regards to that impact? Typically, sales tax is one of those areas that has the potential to earn the city back more money over time, as opposed to our property taxes seem to be a little more stable, although they do rise. What will be the effect over time?
Theoretically, there won't be any impact. The State Board of Equalization, which monitors sales tax, is going to review the sales tax that are coming out of each jurisdiction, and they're going to adjust the property tax to ensure that cities don't lose any revenue. That's the law.
Okay.
So there won't be any impact.
So over time, it will be reviewed on an annual basis.
That's correct. And whatever sales tax we would have received, that exact amount should be transferred from the county.
Okay. And I guess the question would be, then, what's the benefit of doing that to the state? And I think it's because it's more consistent.
The reason when the state wanted to issue that $15 billion in bonds, the state credit rating was not good enough. A lot of bond people didn't think they could even sell bonds, much less get a good rate on the bonds. If they tried to issue general obligation bonds, bonds that were dependent upon just the goodwill of the state legislature to make the payments. So they have sales tax-backed bonds, which mean they're guaranteed bonds. As long as the state gets sales tax, the first thing they have to do with sales tax is pay the principal and interest on the bonds. At the time, the state doesn't actually get sales tax. All the sales tax is given to cities and counties, so the state had to make a deal with the cities and counties to do a transfer, to do this flip thing, so that they could even issue bonds. There was some concern that they wouldn't be able to issue the bonds otherwise.
Thank you. With other local agencies where we had prioritized our local projects and we were to be funded and originally had programmed that, but then the state took all that money and reshifted them to all state projects.
So we're funding this ourselves completely?
Yes.
And I suspect this might simply be a timing thing, but why are actual revenues only 9%? I'm not sure what page that came.
That is a timing issue. You get all your property taxes, or the bulk of them, in December and April, and property taxes are a huge part of our revenue base.
That's not a true reflection.
No, and that's why in the report we compare this quarter to last year, the quarter at the same time, so you can get a relative look at what's happening.
Thank you.
Well, and it's worse with the triple flip because the other revenue sources have now been exchanged for property tax, so we really have a very limited look at any of the revenues.
Thank you.
I appreciate Patrick's explanation of the triple flip, but I'm still skeptical that we're going to get the final flip out of it in the right go around. Knowing what
fortunately, the people that get holding the bag will be the school districts. Yeah.
Knowing what I know, what we've gone through with the ERAF money over the last 10 or 12 years. So we'll see in December.
Well, I just had a quick question, Pat. You know, given this triple flip and looking at the manner in which we're, you know, our sales tax in particular is being redirected, at what point in the, say, over the next 3 or 4 years, are we going to be able to get an accurate read on, for fiscal planning, on the utilization of sales tax, or at least get back on schedule with being able to look at, you know, sales tax trend without, you know, having to do our own strategizing with this triple flip?
Well, the city actually has a consultant, a firm called HDL, which is they're very much on top of this, and they're going to be providing us with very good information. I've already talked to one of their reps. They're aware of the city's concern, of all the cities that they represent, and they have the information available to them that they can ensure that our sales tax replacement revenue is going to be accurate. And they're pretty good at projecting sales tax increases. So I'm comfortable that in the future, budgeting won't be impacted by this triple flip.
So HDL will be able to kind of cut through all of this for the purposes of, you know, making projections relative
to sales tax. They get reports. They'll still get reports from the Board of Equalization every month showing what each company is paying in sales tax, and they'll make sure that we're
like we all have always gotten. That's not going to change.
That's correct.
So. Okay. This is not a public comment or a public hearing, but we do allow members of the audience, if anyone is interested, to come forward and comment on this agenda item. Anyone would like to come forward and comment on 11A, this would be an opportunity. Okay, seeing no one, we'll close public comment on 11A, bring this back to the council.
One other question, if I may, Mr. Mayor, please.
Sure.
Under the Park Development Fund, Patrick, I
gotten commitments from those cities yet, but hopefully will. And so we're just waiting for those commitments to come in before we actually finalize any agreement with the high school.
So there's still a point in time before we're going to be writing a check, I take it.
Yeah, and that agreement, as I recall, we said that would come back to council for final approval. We wanted to make sure all the other parties were committed before we proceed.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
Okay. Councilmember Costello, you want to start this off?
Well, thank you, Patrick, for the work in putting the schedules together and bringing this to us. In these uncertain fiscal times, I think that we're doing the best we can, and I appreciate the work that you did, and I have no problems with accepting the schedules as he's submitted them to us.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens?
I, too, have no issues with the staff report. You've answered my questions, and I think that it's just a matter of staying on top of our fiscal responsibility as the state continues to mess things up. So thank you very much. I appreciate the report. It's very thorough, and it certainly gives us an idea of where we're at and helps us plan for the future.
Thank you. Councilmember Reynolds?
I agree with my colleagues, Mr. Mayor. Last few years we've had good reports, and this is another good one that we know exactly where we're going, and the numbers are what they are, and we just can't make things happen if we don't have the right numbers. So I'm in favor of it.
Thank you. I have nothing to add except, again, my thanks, Patrick. The report was very well done, very comprehensive, and even though it's not the best of news, it's accurate and straightforward and easily understood and appreciated. With that, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the three items under staff's recommendation.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to approve carryover appropriations as detailed in Schedule B, approve detailed budget adjustments and recommendations as shown in Schedule B, and approve Schedules A through E, including the first quarter status report. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Reynolds?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor? Oh, before we move on to the next item, can I just take a moment? I did want to publicly recognize Pat for this work. As you know, he's working on an interim basis, and it's very difficult to come into an organization and get up to speed on everything. But it's just been amazing how quickly he's been able to do that and carry on the work of the financial services department almost seamlessly. And so it's just been terrific. So I wanted to publicly recognize him for that.
Thank you. I'll just say it's been great working here. I've really enjoyed it. Great staff.
Yeah. Well, we've enjoyed having you here as well, Pat, so thanks very much again. Okay, that will take us to item 12, City Council Member Items. Anyone have anything? I do have something I would like to make a note of here with the council's approval. Comments? Moving right along. Staff communications? Okay. That takes us to item 16, community comments and suggestions. Any member of the audience would like to come forward for our final community comment period. This can be on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. No takers? Okay, we will close community comments and takes us to item 17, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kelly.